Thank you, Bob, for reminding me that you have to push the record button.
You're very welcome.
We welcome Michael Benody to our Border Poll Journal video and podcast. Michael has been with us since 2015. He's a friend and a colleague of Border Poll, and he's the CEO of Internet Identity Card Limited. He started that back in 2014, and it's based in the UK. Its policy position is that digital technology has the power to transform our lives, but we must work together to ensure it enhances our dignity and rights, promotes equality, increases our safety and security. As we innovate, we must remain vigilant to avoid unintended consequences and malicious use, and direct digital technology towards maximizing its benefits. Our actions today have a significant implication for future generations, and it's up to us to shape the course of history in a positive direction. And we totally agree with you on that, Michael. And that's why we're so delighted to have you as our first guest as we expand the Border Poll Journal broadcast. So we're delighted to have you on board. And we really, actually, before we started, Bob and I were saying, okay, what are we going to ask Michael about internet identity problems? Yeah, as you know, at the very moment we're talking, we have a problem with our own website, which has been hacked. All of a sudden, you know, the ISP told us that our pages aren't coming through, and we come down to the point we found out what the problem is. They're trying to fix it, but it just shows how everybody is, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, Bob?
Very interested in making life as miserable as possible.
Yes, that's it, because this thing worked fine for a year, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have someone who either doesn't like us or is just malicious in general, and decided to go after our software, because it wasn't the program, actually. It's the software we use to do what we do on the website. It was hacked. So we were using hacked software, in essence, despite the fact that that was provided to us by the ISP. But anyway, one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about is you know, how do you see the world today with regard to the whole issue of internet identity protections and you know, the sort of the global thing, especially since the last time we spoke live, you might say, was in Madrid 3 years ago.
Well, yeah. Okay, I will try my best, because as you know, I'm French, so I will try to, sorry in advance for my mistake.
Oh, come on.
So, if you allow me, I just want to get back to my company, HTTPS Card, Internet Identity Card. My company is a digital identity company founded in 2014. Dedicated to providing safe and secure digital identities for everyone. Our mission is to prove and protect online identities and develop innovative identity solutions that benefit people, governments, private companies, and international organizations. As you know, the future of the digital world is constantly evolving, and our goal is to make the internet safer by guaranteeing and securing the digital identity of internet users. And we believe this can only be achieved through collaboration. So to be honest, I'm very proud to be with you today and with Border Poll since 2015, because you support us in this matter. So at Internet Identity Card, we provide a forum for open discussion and encourage feedback from all of our users to help us improve our digital identity solutions. And as you know, we are committed to creating an open and collaborative environment that values the input of all stakeholders without any distinctions. Yep. So regarding your question, I believe that digital technology has an immense potential to make a positive impact on our lives. However, it is our responsibility to ensure that this technology is used in a way that promotes our dignity. I think it's like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, rights, equality, safety, and security. While we innovate and create new technologies, we must also be mindful of potential negative consequences and malicious uses. I speak for myself, Thomas. I speak for myself. But for me, it is important to recognize that the choices we make today regarding the development and use of digital technology will have a long-lasting effect on future generations.
Indeed.
Therefore, we must work together. I try to speak with my heart and simply, but I think we must work together like we did with Borderpool since a long time now.
Yes.
To steer the course of history in a positive direction, I want to be positive because there's a lot of bad news in the world today, a lot of bad news. And but we have to be positive. I'm a dad, I am a grandfather, and we don't have the choice. We have to be positive to build a better future for our children. So we have to move forward a positive direction because and toward a world where digital technology is used to maximize its benefits and promote the greater goods. By doing so, maybe we can ensure that technology truly enhances our lives rather than detracting from them.
Okay.
Sorry if my English is not very good.
Usually,
to be honest, when I do a meeting, I have to prepare it, you know, to do a
speech. It's so, fine. We're really interested in the processing of the ideas to the community so they understand what exactly it is that they would derive from cooperating with us, using your technology, using your expertise. Can you give us an example of where this is used today with effect?
And I can say I will give you a concrete example. I am grateful for the opportunity really to have been involved in such an innovative and impactful project really. I have to say, with the help of my friends, family, and colleagues, as well as the guidance of our dedicated advisors, I have worked tirelessly, as you know, to develop the world's first centralized and decentralized internet identity card, which has inspired many governments and many companies to make online identity secure and accessible to everyone. And I have to say that it has been an honor to address pressing international geostrategic, strategic challenges, including digital inclusion, data privacy, digital rights, identity fraud, artificial intelligence, and digital transformation and cybersecurity in the world. Through the works I've been doing at HTTPS Card Internet Identity Card. And I am fortunate to have gained extensive experience, which has helped me to develop the skills necessary to lead telecommunication and companies and help them to develop a competitive and ever-changing industry in the field of digital identity.
Okay.
Concretely speaking, I am especially proud of the world's first decentralized internet identity card embedded in the internet planetary file system called the IPFS. The first anonymous and offline service that requires no database for proving and protecting online identities and certified on the Ethereum blockchain. I don't know if this answers your question or not. I'm sorry if it's very difficult to be simple in this field.
No, but it's not a simple issue. We understand that. It's complex, but obviously there are people who will be watching us know exactly what you're talking about, and there'll be others in the community who will need a little more meat on the bones. I think, Bobby, you're going to ask something.
Yeah, well, I guess to me, there's a classic example here. Myself, who have followed you and with interest on the growth of your company, but how do I get a card? How do I get my own identity card?
Okay.
Coupled with that, we also have Tom, who has an identity card and has had for many years. And what does that allow him to do?
Okay. So this is a good question. Okay. To be honest, when I started the company at Internet Identica, I worked myself. So I developed all myself. So I start with a centralized Internet Identity Card. But it was a mistake to work alone, really.
Right.
So after that, people ask me, Michael, okay, your system is great, but there is a weakness because this is on centralized database, so it can be hacked. As you know, government has been hacked and company has been hacked. Everything that is centralized has been at risk, with a huge risk. And I said, okay, so what you are waiting for? He said, okay, why you don't try to build something else, something different? So, okay, so
which
I
you did.
And I did, yeah. And so I worked hard and I developed the world first decentralized identity card on the blockchain.
Right.
And on IPFS. But I was still alone. I worked still alone at this time. But it was a mistake also. It was a mistake but I will explain to you why.
It was a lesson, not a mistake.
Thank you. Thank you. But after that, you know, the world is huge. There is more than 8 billion people on this planet. We speak different language with different political environment, with different financial environment, with religious beliefs and many, we are so different, all of us. And also there is a 40% of the people on the globe who are not connected through internet. So it's like 3 point maybe 5 billions of people are not accessed to internet.
Surprising. I'd be so surprised at that.
This is, when you think about 150 years ago, humans lived without electricity. Only 150 years ago, without electricity. Now, you, me are talking through Zoom, through WhatsApp app, through Skype, but there is some population in the world, some citizens, some human beings, some respectful human beings, who have not access to a bank account, who have not access to identity, and who are not exist. And every day we look at our LinkedIn, our Facebook, how many likes we have, how many followers, how many things like that. And also in terms, but we will talk about border after that, because this is not my job, this is your job. We have to think about senior people. We have to think about the forgotten people. About, you know, when I think, I lost my father last year, and he never touched an iPhone, he never touched a computer, and he don't understand the world we are living in. My mother is still alive. She never touched a mouse. in all entire life. And if you said to her, hey, mom, can you take the mouse and click on it? She will not understand what you are saying. I think technology is great. It's fantastic. But we have to be careful with what we are doing. And this is, I think, this is a responsibility of government and big corporation to be careful and to be transparent about about their promises and what they are about to give to thousands and millions of people around the world. I can see many governments right now, you know, are jump on digital identity, on CBDC, on blockchain, on things like that. But let me ask you a question, Tom.
Yeah.
Very honestly, did they understand the technology? Did they understand what are they doing, really?
I guess I'd have to say I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Because the technology, you know, I mean, I am a developer. So when I am looking at a website, I don't see only the front end, I see the back end. So I used to go to the source code and see what is happening there, to try to understand how they secure my information. And I mean, I respect my government, I respect all the governments, and I know they do their best to secure citizens' digital identity and everything, but they have to be careful because I'm not sure they understand everything and all the consequences of what they are doing. And many, many citizens are concerned about privacy.
Yes.
And they are right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're right. We have to admit that they're right. I am a citizen. You are a citizen. We have children. We have to protect the future generation. This is our duty.
Well,
and
if I could jump in here, one of the things that is when you talk about government, they're talking about things like you know, digital currencies. Now, most people have really not a grasp what they're talking about with digital currency. Even I can't really get my head around it, because a digital currency really is something that, if it's kind of linked in together, like the internet links people together, that means the government, the individuals, the corporations, everybody's in everybody's basket, you might say. So yeah. Where's my privacy from you know, others? Not necessarily because there might be some malfeasance involved, but what is it, the business of some corporation where I spent, you know, $50 for whatever? You know, that privacy to me is interesting. Or, you know, where government might have overarching interests in knowing where I got my money, or where I spent my money, obviously, or where I keep my money. You know, so where's that's a privacy issue, which nobody seems to talk about. They just always talk about the internet to me. And I should say the whole business of technology is always sold to us as being something that makes our lives better and easier and faster and more comfortable. Yes, it's true. I just put my little card in the machine in the wall at the bank, and out comes money. And it's, you know, it's not, you don't have to stand in line at a teller anymore, or I could pay all my bills sitting in my pajamas in my basement on my computer and so on. But we give away a lot of our humanity with that at the same time.
Yeah, I will say this is the price to pay. Internet is fantastic. We can exchange, we can communicate. You know, I am in Paris, you're in Canada, you can be in Africa, you can be everywhere. This is the miracle of technology. But on the other hand, there is a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you are talking about the risk of third-party partners in government digital identity management.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, I guess that kind of leads in I don't know if you're aware here in Canada that a lot of the public service is on strike. And one of the things that they want to do is ensconce in their contract and an ability to work from home.
Yeah.
So I guess my question would be, would the process that you're working on, the facilities that you have at your capability, would that enhance security of the documentation of the work that they want to do at home versus what they should be doing at an office?
All right. So concerning work at home, I see Tom in your recent video, and Bob, you highlighted the importance of protecting your privacy while working from home, especially during COVID-19 pandemic. As remote work become more prevalent, it's crucial to take steps to safeguard your connection and data. As more and more people work from home due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the importance of protecting personal privacy and data has become increasingly important. I agree. Remote work involves using various communication tools and online platforms, which can make your personal information vulnerable to cyber threats. These threats include, like you said, hacking, identity theft, and other malicious activities that can compromise sensitive data. In my experience, to protect yourself while working from home, but there is no miracle, Bob. It's important to take steps to safeguard your connection and that data. This includes using a secure Wi-Fi network, enabling two-factor authentication, using strong passwords, and keeping your software and systems up to date. It's also important to be cautious of phishing scam, and Tom know what I'm talking about, which can trick you into revealing your personal information. And I think by taking the necessary precautions, you can ensure that your remote work is both productive and secure. My first advice, if you work at home, Bob, is to say, firstly, you should use a virtual private network, a VPN, to encrypt your internet connection and make it more difficult for hackers to access your data. Additionally, you must keep your devices and software up to date. This is very important. I know that sometimes we receive notification, upgrade. It's annoying, but you have to do it because they're working for us, really, to update their system to be compliant to new rules and new threats. I always repeat that, but use strong and unique passwords. Don't use the same passwords for all of your accounts. This is a common mistake, but we all did it in the past, I know, but now we learned the lesson. And enabling also two-factor authentication, you know, with when you receive an SMS or an email to click on a link, it's also a good idea, I think. This adds an extra layer of security by requiring an additional authentication factor. I think there is no one way to be secure online. There's a lot of things there's a lot of steps to do to be secure online. But you have to be aware of these steps. You have to learn by yourself. You have to be curious and education. So this is why I always said education is the key. Education and transparency is the key to a successful digital identity. Education and transparency. So if you are not sure, so I don't know, did I reply to your question, Bob?
Yeah. I guess just coupled with that, like two-factor authentication. does, instead of getting an SMS message on your telephone, could your identity card be used in that manner as well?
So first, I don't like to set my internet identity card. So because I never ever consider that this is my project. I always consider this is a project of the 21st century. And you can't be a proprietary of such a project, really. Okay. So of course, I protect the trademark, I patent and copyright, because I don't want bad people to make a mess with it. So this is the fact. But of course, we can implement it. We can implement on a centralized or decentralized or hybrid, depending on government needs.
Okay.
We can implement, and it works. But it will not work on its own. It's not enough. If you see what Twitter did recently, sorry, Elon Musk, for what I said, but that's true. So you don't have access to 2FA authentication now if you don't pay.
Yeah.
So they disabled two-factor authentication for a simple user like you and me, because we are not verified on Twitter because we don't want to pay really for that. But the problem is that they disabled the system. I don't say that the system was perfect, but it was a layer of security, an additional layer of security. So now they disabled two-factor authentication. They suppressed the badge on authentic accounts. So this makes life more difficult for us to identify a fake account or a real one.
Yes.
And especially with, maybe we'll talk about artificial intelligence later, but this is a big concern also. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that I don't know what is happening right now, but I can see many social networks, and Facebook is following the move as Twitter. So they make paying your verification online. What is crazy, Tom, if you think about 10 years ago, when you meet me for the first time, when I talk about the internet identity card, people were scared about the fact to verify their online identity. They were scared about that.
Yeah.
And today, if you say that verification is free, they will run into it. People yeah. will be happy to have the badge on their on profile. This is crazy when you think about the history of the internet identity card and all things is going on right now. People are supplying Twitter to verify their account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is it is bizarre when you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is true. When you think about 10 years ago, when I talk about my internet identity card because I wanted to protect my children online, people look at me and think, oh, did you work for the NSA, for the FBI, for that?
Yeah.
And yeah, this is true. And now people look at me and said, oh, maybe he was right.
Well, you're right. Yeah, 10 years ago, people would have been wondering what brand of tinfoil you were using to put over your head. But now everybody's looking for that same guarantee. Yeah.
But I don't change nothing from the beginning. That's
true. You have never changed your position on it.
No, never, ever. Yeah. And I remember we had a discussion together. And you said, oh, Michael, one day you will become a billionaire. And I said to you, no, I'm not. I will not become a billionaire because...
I remember that.
Yeah, in order to become a billionaire, I will have to accept money from investors. But I will never accept to have your identity on the trade market. This is what I said. You remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't change a comma or
no,
anything
been,
of what I been, said.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, You're much like us, you know. We try to remain true to our convictions. You kind of err in a very narrow lane because of that. But at least it's not difficult to continue in that lane. You don't have these outside sort of interjections by people who, you know, maybe have malfeasance in their mind, but not. You know, it's just
ulterior motives.
Ulterior motives, yes. Okay, that ulterior motives covers it. But no, we've got 5 minutes left going forward here, Michael. How do you see the future for the company? What's your strategic question.
For the company or for the future of digital identity?
Well, whatever, we eat either.
Okay. Well, okay, we'll try. I think that the future of the internet identity card and generally of digital identity will be shaped by a combination of advancements in technology, changes in user behavior, and evolving regulatory frameworks. One major trend that I see emerging is the increasing use of biometric authentication methods, such as facial recognition and fingerprint right. scanning, because these methods can offer a higher level of security and convenience than traditional passwords or PINs.
Yes.
But they also raise important questions around privacy and consent. What I can feel and see is another important development is the rise of decentralized identity solutions, which give users greater control over their own data and reduce the risk of data breaches and identity theft. Mm-hmm. Decentralized solutions use blockchain technology to create a secure, tamper-proof record of a user identity, which can be verified by third parties without the need for a central authority. At the same time, I think that we will see a growing emphasis on user-centric design in digital identity systems, with a focus on making them easy to use and understand for individuals of all backgrounds and technical abilities. This will be especially important as more and more services move online and as digital identity become increasingly central to our daily lives.
That's that's very insightful, Michael, because the decentralization is a social phenomena as well as a technical phenomena these days, I think, or at least we're coming to that kind of a realization that everything is really local in your life. Mm-hmm. And while there might be connections broader, like in an onion skin, but still your life is local.
That's right.
And maybe the technology is going to keep up with that social evolution. Maybe we've gone full circle on this. Bob, in our last 2 minutes.
We're kind of winding down, but for any of our listeners or viewers out there, if they would like an internet identity card, where do they go? What do they have to do?
Well, so this is a good question, Bob. I believe that governments and other organizations will continue to grapple with how to balance the needs for security and privacy in digital identity system, and how to secure that these systems are accessible and inclusive for all members of society. I think this will require careful consideration of issues such as data protection, user consent, and the potential for discrimination or bias in automated decision-making processes. Overall, the future of the Internet Identity Card, or globally the future of digital identity, is likely to be shaped by a complex, interplay of technological, social, and political factors. However, I just engaged myself, Bob. Huh? This is just me, just to be sincere. But however, by prioritizing user needs and working towards more decentralized and secure solutions, we can create a digital identity ecosystem that is both effective and ethical in the years to come. This is what I believe.
Okay, super.
We got to wind it up. We're going to run out of time. Michael, thank you so much. I hope we can visit you again.
Thank you very much.
And all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Bob.
And we appreciate you. You have no idea.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. You have no idea, too.
Take care, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye, Bob.